The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are in busy mode with Super Bowl in town, WM Open, but I've got time to jump on in with you guys for a few minutes. We'll have Bob Herrig from SI.com, covers golf with PGA Tour in town. A lot of angles around that. We want to get that out of the way today to get you set up for the WM Open on this Monday. And then we'll have our usual Monday segment with John Wilner. Super Bowl stuff later in the week. You know the matchup. They're in town. What more is there to get to? Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Start banking better, getting more with free checking from Desert Financial. Join a winning team at DesertFinancial.com. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. We appreciate Desert Financial and their support. I am going to be busy today. Claudia and I are going to speak at a Super Bowl event in downtown Chandler at 9:30. So that's why you're seeing this on tape rather than live. And then we're going to the Open to get stuff handled up there for the week. And then there's a couple of Super Bowl things this afternoon. And that's just how this week is going to go. And add to that, okay? Add to that. Because look, let's be honest with each other. The Super Bowl, it's a big corporate event. That's what it is. It's exciting. It's here in our town. But the Cardinals, are they playing? No. Are there 30 teams that are not here that aren't playing? Yes. So unless you're a fan of the Chiefs, the Eagles, or you like to bet and gamble, it's pretty well set, okay? I've done the Super Bowl thing through the years, and it's fine. It's fine. I'll head down to Radio Row and just see some friends, but I'm not going to take the show down there and put on some guy to push a hair replacement project, even though I can do it, or some window cleaning product. What it ends up being at Radio Row is you're going to get this Hall of Famer, who, by the way, is getting paid so much money to bounce from station to station to station to pitch his window glass cleaning product. And you're going to sneak in this much about football and this much about the window glass cleaning company. And it's just obnoxious. It's just, eh. So I'm not doing that. I'm not participating. I'm too well to attend. But I am into the game, and we'll do the prop bets and all that stuff as the week goes on. Big story here for us that are local is the Suns. So I think they're back in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. It's fascinating what's going on. So Kyrie wants out. Kyrie says, peace out. Get me out of here in Brooklyn. And I'm hearing this and thinking, man, this is a risk-reward deal on top of risk-reward deals. Chris Paul is aging. He's slowing down a little bit. You can boost up your point guard position by bringing Kyrie Irving here. And then, okay, what's going to happen off the court? Because something's going to happen. Something always happens. And yet, he's a phenomenal talent. And so unless there's culture, meaning there's already previous relationships of people and how they can get into Kyrie Irving, and evidently the Dallas Mavericks have that, if I'm to believe what I'm reading and hearing. So the Suns did not make enough of an offer. They would not include their 3 first-round picks. I would not have done it. But Matt Ishbia, the new owner of the Suns, who will be introduced on Wednesday of this week, like we don't have enough going on, which is great. It's great. He's on the floor. But the trade deadline is Thursday. Tell me that a new owner walks in, hey, I got the trade deadline. I can immediately send a message that I am all in. Look at me. Look at us. And then there's got to be people to say, not so fast. You don't want to go down this path. And it sounds as though that he was convinced otherwise because the Suns would have parted with 3 first-round picks. The fact that Matt Ishbia played for Michigan State, played at the highest level in college with Tom Izzo, has been around, sees his way through. My understanding is he's a win guy when it comes to negotiations. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that as long as it's within reason. That he'd want to hit the ground running and show that he's all about it. Add to that, I don't think the Suns, as they're constructed currently, are a championship team. I keep saying, wait till Devin Booker comes back. But they have Jay Crowder sitting over there on the sideline to do something with. And the fact that Shams put out there from The Athletic that they offered Chris Paul. All right, so now you get younger at point guard. Didn't happen. But the fact that Suns got involved in it, I think, is promising. That leads to Durant. So how is Durant going to act to all of this? Trade deadline later this week, wanted to get out of Brooklyn. The Suns were interested in him last summer. I've taken the approach, let's see. Do the Suns have enough? Is parting with DeAndre Ayton a way to go? Is parting with Chris Paul a way to go? Because then again, his contract would be up, at least partially, and then it would give Brooklyn some relief. So there's all this business side going on around the Suns. And then you add into, okay, the Mavericks are better. Like Mikal Bridges put on his social yesterday. All I put was, uh-oh. That was it. LeBron James pouting that the Lakers didn't get Kyrie. You know, there's all these facets that are going on around the Suns, and that is the story here in town. It is. You can talk all you want about parties and events and all that, but for us locals, the Suns are the story this week. Cardinals, Vance Joseph is out of the running, according to Mike Silver, to be their head coach. They're down to three. It's Super Bowl week. I'm just sitting here saying track record speaks for itself. It's his team. He can do with it what he wants, but convince us that we're sitting here going in the right direction as the Cardinals are going about their business for this coaching search. And I would just say, no. But he's the owner. It's his team. He can do with it what he wants. He can go about his coaching search the way he wants. At some point, and it'll just be another 3-4 years, we're going to be talking about another coach going through, in all likelihood. Maybe this is the time Michael finally gets it right. All right, Bob Herrick on the WM Open. And then Wilner, some stuff around the Pac-12 that it doesn't sound good. Like the presidents met at ASU last week and it got very nasty over this television contract. And there's now conversation about, again, universities looking at bolting from the Pac-12. We'll get into that with John Wilner too as we roll on this Monday. All right, WM Open is in town. We have Bob Herrig, as always, Sports Illustrated Golf. He wrote the book Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. It came out last April. It's always good to have Bob on board to chop it up with the WM Open in town this week. It is good to see you, Bob. A designated event out here. What do you make out of coming into Phoenix this week, the tour so far this year?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Brad. The WM Phoenix Open, it's a great event without being a designated event. I actually wrote about it here today. It's not really necessary for them to do this, but so it's just as a bonus. You know, you're going to get the best of the best now. I believe it's something like 22 of the top 25 in the world. This is exactly the point of the designated events to you know, bring the best together more often. And this is really the first time it's happening. The Century Tournament, the Tournament of Champions, that was a designated event also. That was sort of a soft opening because not everybody's eligible. Everybody's now eligible. And, you know, it's going to make what's always a great week even better because you're going to have that higher end of competition all in the same place.
With a designated event, for fans that may not know, this is new, and the purse, as you mentioned, is now up. It's $20 million.
Right.
Did they need to do this to attract players to come here, or is Phoenix a destination spot? I know through the years of being here, there's some players I can't do Phoenix. Phoenix is out of control. I'll get in trouble going to Scottsdale, whatever it may be. You know, is this event now become more golf, less party for guys, or is it just a different type of player? It's like, you know what? I'm cool with all the party and all the noise. I actually want it.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's an issue for some guys, I'm sure. You know, it probably has kept some away. I'm not sure that the event is hurt by that in any way. I mean, look at the guys who were competing last year for the title. Scottie Scheffler won. He beat Patrick Cantlay in a playoff. I mean, they've had very good fields. Now it's a great field. And yeah, probably you needed to do something like this to assure everybody to get there, because when you have a choice, there's just going to be some guys who aren't going to do it. Mm-hmm. This system they've put in place, these designated events, basically the guys who are partaking in the Player Impact Program, the PIP as it's called, $100 million of bonus money. To get all of that, you have to show up at all of these events, or at least you get one opt-out. That's why Adam Scott is not playing this week. He decided to take this one off. But there's 20 of them, including the majors and the players. You got to play 19. So they're basically kind of forcing you into these events, which in a way is good because this is the only way you're going to get the top guys together more consistently outside of the majors and the players. There's, when you spread out so many tournaments across 8 or 9 months, how are you going to get them all together? This is their way of doing it. It's new. I think we need to give it a chance. There's a lot of things I like about it. Next week will be another one. The Genesis Invitational is a locked in designated event. Phoenix is supposed to be a rotating one. There's four that are doing it this way. Whether or not they'll do this again next year is unclear. I would guess not. Maybe down the road they would do it again. But it's I think it's interesting time in golf, and this has been a great response that the tour has come up with here to LIV, which obviously was quite disruptive last year.
Mm-hmm. Bob Herrick with us, Sports Illustrated Golf. Check out his content, SI.com. You can find all of his content. He did write a great column today, in fact, on the WM Open, and he joins us here. Will we ever see Phil Mickelson or Tiger Woods play TPC Scottsdale again?
Yeah, that's a good one. I would say no for Phil. You know, the way this is headed, at least right now, it's hard to look into a crystal ball and see there being any kind of coming together of LIV and the PGA Tour. I actually spoke to Phil about 10 days ago, and I asked him the question of, you know, what about the idea of never playing a PGA Tour event again? And, you know, he said, I'm at peace with it. You know, he's okay with it. Tiger, you know, my guess is probably not just simply due to the fact that he's going to have so limited of an opportunity to play going forward. Like next week would be one where he would dearly want to play. The Genesis is a tournament that's run by his foundation. Obviously, he wants to support it. We don't know at this point if he's going to. And it's hard for him to play two in a row. So if the schedule is the way it is, it would make that difficult. You know, Tiger is a health thing. Phil is a probably not going to be allowed to thing. And so, you know, it's that's an unfortunate situation that we find ourselves in with those two guys.
Bob, Rory McIlroy and Tiger in this whole battle with LIV and how that has gone. When these two are done playing, are these future commissioners of the game? Are they all commissioners of the game, you know, in their own way? Can you talk a little bit, speak to the Rory and Tiger relationship and how they've been leading through the LIV deal?
Yeah, I mean, look, it is kind of amazing how they took charge and how quickly things changed when they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually things at the PGA Tour go at a glacial pace. To get something like that done, which is this system we are talking about, these designated events, usually would take months, if not years. I mean, it's getting approvals, it's getting the money together. I mean, you know, the Phoenix event has gone from roughly $8 million, $8.5 million purse to $20 million. Well, where's that $12 million coming from?
Right.
Is it all coming from waste management? Probably not. Is it all coming from the PGA Tour? Probably not. Well, they had to negotiate. They had to figure this out. The tour had to do this with a bunch of events, and it's not easy, you know? And so to make this all happen this quickly because of their influence is pretty impressive. Now, you know, I don't necessarily see Tiger being that out front going forward, but it is interesting to see him taking it on a little bit more than he would have. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, Tiger would have been totally in the background on this.
Yeah.
You know, he would have not been engaged. He was grinding as a player that he didn't, it wasn't his business. His agent might've been handling it. You know, Rory obviously is a more active player. He's been more outspoken. He's taken the lead in talking about all this. He's taken some knocks for it too. And I just tell people, how can you fault a guy for speaking his mind and what he believes? You might not agree with all of it, but you got to give him credit for stepping up and trying to make some of these things happen. Because the bottom line is, frankly, this is sort of what Phil had been griping about. You know, some of these things that they are now doing, I don't want to say it exonerates Phil, but it sort of makes you think a little bit about what Phil was talking about. He felt there was more money that should have been going to the star players, that they needed to reward players more for their commercial value. And that's what this is all about, you know? So the fact that it happened so fast is a lot due a lot in part to Tiger and Rory getting behind it and pushing hard.
As always, I appreciate your time and your insight. Good stuff. Safe travels. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Bob Herrick with us, Sports Illustrated Golf. Check out his content, SI.com, for everything going on around the world of golf and much more. We're back with more after this timeout. Time now for John Wilner. As always, the great John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Follow his content on social. He is part of the Canzano Wilner podcast, which really should be called the Wilner Canzano podcast. You can find all your podcast centers. All right, partner, let's get into this. On this Monday, take us back to last week, because it sounds as though that there was some progress or a little progress or no progress from what I'm hearing on my end around the new television contract. Where are things on that today as we talk business of sports right off the top? Because this impacts the fans in a big way.
Yeah, sure. I think that they're going to get some. My expectation is that they're going to have a deal done in the next 4 to 6 weeks. I think that, you know, I've kind of figured selection Sunday for the NCAA tournament is March 12th. Hmm. So that's a pretty good rough deadline there. And if they don't have something done by then, you know, fans may have reason to get a little bit, start to get a little bit anxious. I think there's a deal to be done. I think ESPN wants the Pac-12 to remain together. ESPN wants five conferences and regionality in college football. So we'll see if the Pac-12 is able to land the plane. You know, Commissioner George Kliakoff and his sports media advisor, you know, they gotta get it done. And it's about time to start finishing.
John, are you holding back a little bit on this one?
I just think that I was surprised that I understood that they wanted to wait for the UCLA situation to play out in the fall, and that dragged on into middle of December. I kind of thought that they were close at that point, and once UCLA's fate was decided, they'd be able to wrap it up either before Christmas or the first part of January. And it doesn't sound to me like they had made that much progress. I just feel like urgency is required at this point. The longer you wait, the more chance of an unknown throwing a gigantic wrench into the whole process that could end up really putting the future of the conference at risk.
Okay, the unknown would be Oregon or Washington. And I ask you this simply because John does a mailbag every week. And every Thursday, John puts out on his social, hit me up, mailbag questions. And his mailbag every week is filled with questions like this about yes. Oregon leaving, Washington leaving, San Diego State coming, Santa Clara or St. Mary's. I mean, it's just all over the place. So the fascination by this, but as we sit here and talk today, do you still feel like everybody's united? Or as you say, you know, a wrench into the system, is there a lurking eye out there within this?
No, I think everybody is united, but I don't think those things are, you know, mutually exclusive necessarily, right? And so the Big Ten is not open for business. Oregon and Washington are not going to get invitations to the Big Ten anytime soon. If they do, you know, that's probably years away. But, you know, so everybody can be united. And at the same time, if it drags on deep into the spring, you know, you never know what could happen without external forces that all of a sudden prompts. I mean, that's the nature of realignment, is you don't expect it. Nobody expected Texas and Oklahoma in the summer of 2021 to go to the SEC. Nobody expected USC and UCLA on June 30th to join the Big Ten. The very nature of realignment is the unexpected. And the longer you go without a deal, the more chance for the unexpected.
Okay, one last question on this, and that is, because I know it's going to come up over the next few weeks too, but today as we sit here and talk, if there were a school that would have a wandering eye, or are they all 100% locked in, like Stanford going to the Ivy League was out there a while back. You know, is there any school that you just look at and say, if there was one that would wander, because you know the makeup of the front office, it would be this school?
Well, I mean, I can understand why Arizona, and I don't necessarily know that Arizona's president feels this way, Robert Robbins, but I can understand why Arizona folks are looking at the Big 12, because geographically there's a fit, and Arizona's about basketball, and the Big 12 is the best basketball conference, right? So that, you know, I can understand that. the school with the wandering eye is Oregon. I mean, Phil Knight, I'm sure, is still out there trying to get Oregon into the SEC or the Big Ten. I just don't think that either of those options exist right now, but you never know how things can change.
John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Make sure you follow his content over on Twitter. Of course, it's on our website at sports360az.com. And John shows up from time to time on our Bally Sports Arizona conference package talking about things going on in the Pac-12. Over on the basketball side, I thought a bad weekend for Bobby Hurley losing at home. Bobby losing his mind again. This isn't just aimed at Bobby. But man, every game it's about the officials. Somehow, some way now, our industry has to ask about officiating in every single game. And you're going to get fined. You're going to get tossed. Is officiating still that big of a deal to you within the conference, or has it been cleaned up some, John?
I think it's been cleaned up some. Certainly, there's still issues, but there's issues in every conference.
Yes.
You know, there's so many games. And the other thing is, you know, the officials who work Pac-12 games, there's a consortium. They're working games in other conferences. It's, you know, there's more of a sharing of basketball officials than there is football officials. So, you know, these guys are working Mountain West games. Some of them are working games, you know, east of the Rockies. I think it's, you know, obviously when you're Arizona State and there's a foul discrepancy like there was in the Oregon game, Hurley's going to be very upset. I thought he did a nice job not putting himself in position to get fined in the post game media conference. But, I get it. And some of that has to do with bad calls, and some of that has to do with the way teams are playing. You know, different styles generate, more calls or fewer calls. But on the whole, I don't think it's it's almost the least of the Pac-12's concerns when it comes to men's basketball these days.
I was in Tucson last Wednesday for Letter of Intent Day. I wanted to see Jed Fish, wanted to ask him about his conference. Everything's been about Kenny at ASU, which is fine, but I like to be statewide. So I go down there and finish up talking with Jed and some people around the basketball program I run into and see how things going. Like, well, we're still looking for guard play. Yeah, when you lose Ben Mathurin, you're not going to be as good. So I guess the question is, do you see them as a team right now as a Sweet 16, Elite Eight? Are they a Final Four team? I don't think they are right now, John, but do you see U of A trending in the right direction?
Well, I mean, certainly Tabellis is trending in the right direction. The guy, he has been phenomenal. I think he's almost a lock for Pac-12 Player of the Year. But I agree with you. I think that there's still some question. It will be about the matchup. If they draw a team that plays like Houston, that's tough and can expose their defensive weaknesses, they're going to have trouble in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. If they get a nice draw that works well for their style and their personnel, they certainly could make it to the Final Four. I think that they're a second weekend team, but I'm not sure they're a third weekend team yet. Depends on the matchups.
Let's go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always, John. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
The great John Wilner. You can follow him over on social, on Twitter at Wilner Hotline. And his content's on the site at sports360az.com. Appreciate John Wilner as always. And we're back with more after this timeout.